The reading is Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Loving Father, we thank you that you are with us now by your Spirit, present among us. And so, Father, we pray that you would humble our hearts so that we would hear your voice as we study your word together now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this story of the widow's offering seems quite straightforward when we first come to it. It's a very short story. It's just four verses long and takes a matter of seconds to read. It probably took us longer to find it in our Bibles than it does to actually read it. And it's quite a simple story. It's not difficult to follow the action. In fact, there's very little action in this story. And for many of us, it may be a familiar story. It's the kind of story you may have heard growing up in Sunday school. And if you belong to one of our home groups, you'll have read it there over the last couple of weeks. But we mustn't allow the brevity or the simplicity or the familiarity of this rather sweet little story lull us into a false sense of security. A little bit like one of those cute little dogs that turn out to have razor sharp teeth when you reach out to pat them. This story turns out to have quite a bite. So let's look at it together. Now, it's only short, so let's read it again together. So follow with me in your Bibles. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." I wonder whether you're a people watcher. Do you ever just kind of sit down and just watch people around you as they go about their business? Well, that seems to be what Jesus is doing here. He's watching people. Within the court of the women in the temple, there were 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles in the walls into which people put their contributions to the temple treasury. And that seems to be the place where Jesus chooses to sit down and just watch people as they go about their business. As he watches, he sees a stream of rich and important people come along and throw large sums of money into the receptacles, one after another. But then a poor widow walks up and quietly puts in two little coins. Now, she doesn't make a big show of it. She doesn't care if nobody notices. Her giving is just between herself and God. And it doesn't amount to much, just a fraction of a penny. Others gave much more than she did. In comparison, her giving seems small and insignificant. Yet Jesus singles out this poor widow as deserving special attention. Why is that? Well, we're told in verses 43 and 44. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All she had to live on. Do you see what Jesus is saying here about this widow? He's saying this, that God measures our giving not by what we give, but by what we keep for ourselves. Let me say that again. God measures our giving not by what we give, but by what we keep for ourselves. Do you see that? Look at verse 44. Others gave out of their wealth, Jesus says. They put large amounts of money into the receptacles, and those gifts were significant. A lot could be accomplished with the money that they gave. But in proportion to the wealth they kept for themselves, well, their gifts were small. And see what Jesus says about the widow. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. She put in two coins, the smallest copper coins in circulation at the time. And they were almost worthless. And they were all she had. So she could so legitimately have kept one back for herself. But she didn't. She kept nothing back for herself. Even those two small, practically worthless coins, she put into the collection. And Jesus says she gave more than the others. God measures our giving not by what we give, but by what we keep for ourselves. Well, what is Jesus teaching us here? Is he saying that we should do as the widow did? Is he saying simply that we should give away all our money, every last penny, for the sake of the gospel? Well, I don't think so. I think that would be a far too superficial understanding of Jesus' words. And he isn't telling us simply to copy the widow in a mechanical way. He isn't telling us to do as she does outwardly. He's calling us to be like her inwardly, in our hearts. So what is it that we're to see in this poor widow? Well, I think we'd see a heart that is wholly surrendered to God. A surrendered heart, as I put as that heading. What do I mean by that? When we talk of surrender, we might think of a soldier who has no choice but to lay down his arms and give up fighting. And there is that aspect of surrender in a Christian's life. By nature, we are all rebels who fight against God, rejecting his Son, Jesus Christ. The point must come for each one of us when we lay down our arms and stop rebelling against him and surrender and call him Lord. But there's another way in which we speak of surrender, which is also true of a Christian. It's the surrender of a lover who willingly gives themselves into the arms of another without holding anything back. And that's what we see in this poor widow. It's the surrender of a lover who has given herself wholeheartedly to her God without holding anything back. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Well, what does a surrendered heart look like? Well, I want to suggest two things. I think we see in this widow, firstly, that it's a heart that fully trusts the one to whom it has given itself. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what a surrendered heart looks like. It's a heart that gives itself to God, trusting that he loves us and cares for us, and that he will always provide for us the things we need. That's what we see as this poor widow throws those two small coins into the temple treasury. That's all she's got, just two coins. Yet she throws both of them into the treasury receptacles, leaving herself with nothing. She walks away, empty-handed. It's the action of someone who knows that she can trust God with her very life. So a surrendered heart is a heart that fully trusts the one to whom it has given itself. But we also see in this widow, secondly, that it's a heart that is utterly committed to the one to whom it has given itself. Listen again to what Jesus says about this widow. And he says this, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. That's commitment. She was prepared to give up everything, all she had, for the sake of her God. And that's exactly the kind of wholehearted commitment that Jesus calls for from us. In chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You see, Jesus calls us to follow him with a radical, wholehearted commitment that's prepared to give up everything for him and for the gospel. He calls us to be utterly devoted to him and to his cause. We saw last week that a wholehearted commitment like that will always be motivated by a deep sense of gratitude for all he's done for us at the cross. And it will involve sacrifice. Following Jesus means taking up our crosses and losing our lives. That's the discipleship that Jesus calls us to. It's one that is thoroughly self-sacrificing. It means dying to ourselves. And we'll feel that no more keenly than in our giving. To give our money away for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, will always be sacrificial. It'll hurt. But that sacrifice that we accept willingly out of gratitude to him is an expression of our wholehearted commitment to him. And as with the poor widow in our story this morning, it's the overflow of hearts that are wholly surrendered to him. A surrendered heart is a heart that fully trusts the one to whom it has given itself. And it's a heart that is utterly committed to the one to whom it has given itself. Well, this little story that Mark has recorded for us is a beautiful one. It gives us a beautiful picture of a woman whose heart is totally surrendered to God, who trusts him to meet all her needs, and who gives herself to him without holding anything back. It's a lovely picture. And Mark records it for us to show us the kind of disciples that Jesus calls us to be. He's calling us to a radical, wholehearted commitment in every area of our lives that results from hearts that are totally surrendered to him. He's calling us to be disciples who give ourselves wholly to him without holding anything back, including our wallets. And the question it should prompt us to ask is, have I surrendered my heart to God like that? Have I surrendered my heart to Jesus, his son, like that? Or am I holding something back? Perhaps a particular area of obedience, or sacrifice. And as we review our giving together, last week and this week, we need to ask ourselves, am I totally surrendered to my Lord in the area of my finances too? So that we're not asking, how much can I keep for myself? How much can I hold on to? But how much can I give away to serve him? How much can I afford to give away for the sake of the gospel? Well, the answer to that question is just between you and God. And the challenge of this story is that God measures our giving not by what we give, but what we keep for ourselves in our finances and in every other area of our lives. And I find that challenging. I imagine you do too. And the question is how we will each respond. So let's pause and let's pray before we go on. Loving Father, we thank you again for all that you've done for us in sending your Son to die on a cross for our sin. Thank you that through his death we can come to you with a clear conscience and call you Father and look forward to an eternity spent with you, enjoying blessing upon blessing from your hand. Please, would you work in us this day by your Spirit to change us and transform us, so that we might follow you wholeheartedly, with hearts that are totally surrendered to you, just as we've seen with this poor widow in Mark's Gospel. And as you do that work in us, please would you glorify yourself through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.